This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Gibson is the Dean of Political Reporting in Virginia. He works for the Charlottesville Daily Progress and has for many years. He joins us each Monday afternoon for a political discussion and update. Welcome, sir. How are you doing?
Thank you. Great. Please don't say Dean. That sounds like
you don't like that?
That sounds like an academic title.
Oh, okay. I thought it was sort of like a title of respect.
We're out in the street. You know,
you're in no ivory tower.
Right.
Bob Gibson, the man of the street, joins us in studio. We have a whole lot to get to. There's just so much, and we don't have time for it all. But I'm just going to give you your choice where you want to start. Should we start with this recent poll that was just put in our hands?
Why don't we? Chris Callahan just gave us the Rasmussen poll, which just came out today. It's another close race indication. This one has George Allen in the lead. He is leading over his Democratic challenger, Jim Webb, by a total of 49 to 43. And again, that is among 500 likely voters September 28th, 29th, 30th, and October 1st, with a plus or minus what? Four and a half percent. So it's really still
tied.
Still a virtual tie,
yeah.
Which is exactly what our poll. The Mason-Dixon over the weekend had it 43-43. Mason-Dixon doesn't push. It's undecided. So, the undecideds are out there in the Mason-Dixon poll still at, 12%? 12%.
Okay. And you were saying in the break how now that it's October, we're going to be seeing a poll a week.
Oh, more than that. That we can expect the Washington Post to have one on Sunday. We can see our own Mason-Dixon back the following Sunday. And then there are all these little polls. Some of them are robocalls. Some of them are calls where you don't have a real person on the line. You just
I got one this weekend.
What?
Clearly from a conservative.
Yeah.
All about, don't you hate the death tax? And don't you? Aren't you pleased with how our leaders are conducting the war in Iraq?
All of that stuff. Yeah, there'll be a lot of polls taken in the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So what does this tell you? Does it tell you anything, or does it
still
tell you
just race. It's still a close race. I don't think it's a big enough sample to say anything other than what the poll of the weekend said, that it's a very close race.
Yeah, and the other big news, of course, Salon.com had an update article regarding the N-word allegations where yet another teammate came forward, and this time he said, you can use my name. I'm so disgusted with how George has reacted to all of this, that I want my name on this, even though I, as a professor at NCU or North Carolina State, I could receive some type of retribution politically.
Allen is spending all this money tonight to go on at 7:58, and he's doing it with the intention of putting all this behind him and saying, let's get on to some real issues. But he hasn't fully addressed all the questions adequately in the minds of a lot of people. And for him to just say, let's change the subject, may or may not work.
Yeah.
I mean, he's spending a lot of money to go on TV tonight and say, hey, the issues are important. Well, eventually we will get back to talking about the war in Iraq, and eventually we will get back to talking about stem cell research and his support of President Bush down the line, all these things. Those are the real issues in this race. And, we've taken a diversion for 2 months into character land at the request of the characters.
Yeah. And it has been a diversion, as you pointed out before, and to the credit of reporters in this state who, by and large, and certainly present company included, do a terrific job at staying focused on the issues.
Well, the character is an issue. I mean, character clearly counts in any election. And when you have one of the candidates saying, I never used the N-word, never. As George Allen is saying, and you have the other saying, I used it, but I never directed it at any individual in a mean way. They're handling that very differently. One is saying, I never used it, and you either believe him or you don't. And there are other people coming forward saying, we heard him say it.
Yeah.
And those people are, you can judge their credibility because they're up now on YouTube, and you can see them interviewed on television.
Right, right.
You can read extensive interviews with them. Whereas, the Jim Webb thing, it probably doesn't help him a great deal with the black voters who don't know him for him to say, yeah, I used that word, but never intended to use it at anybody.
Yeah. It makes you think of Mark Furman in the O.J. trial, if you remember that.
And you say on your oath that you have not addressed any black person as a or spoken about black people as in the past 10 years, Detective Furman.
That's what I'm saying, sir.
That's what Mark Furman said to F. Lee Bailey. And of course, this is, I don't think there's, there probably is no recording of George Allen 30 years ago as there was for Mark Furman.
No, but there are a lot of people around here who knew George Allen 30 years ago. And some of them have very, you know, vivid recollections.
You're one of those people.
Well, I never heard him say anything like that, so I cannot count myself as someone who's heard him say that.
Yeah, but I have said on this program before, I've been in Charlottesville for almost 20 years, and you've been here almost twice that, I guess, and you can't really live in Charlottesville for a long time without hearing some of these stories. So to see these stories on Salon or on Meet the Press, it's nothing new to a lot of folks here in Charlottesville. You know, George Allen pretty almost grew up here. From a young man on,
well,
and started
age,
his political career here.
From age 19 on, and he...
We've heard these stories for a long time, Bob.
He ran his first race in 1979, and he lost in a multi-member district for the House of Delegates. And then he ran his second race in 1982, when they switched to single-member districts, and he had Albemarle and Nelson counties. And he won that race over an incumbent Democrat, Jim Murray, by 25 votes. And then he came back the next year, and Jim Murray challenged him. So it was another Murray Allen race, and this one George won by about 525 votes. He said that night, had he lost that 1983 race, or actually had he lost the 25-vote race, his second in a row, he probably would be doing something else by now.
Don is on the phone in Charlottesville. Phone lines are open, folks, 977-1070. Don, thank you for the call. You're on with Bob Gibson.
I'd like to ask Mr. Gibson, have we commenting on Brian McKenzie's article in his newspaper this morning? I'm sure he read the article, didn't you,
no,
Mr. Gibson?
Actually, I didn't.
You didn't read it?
What did it say?
It's about using the N-word and talking about George Allen and how that when he was back in 1970, how that everybody just threw that name around. So he's got a chance. I'm surprised you didn't read that. And, Corey, please, you read it too, okay?
I will. I have not read it, honestly.
Read the article this morning.
Will indeed. Thank you, Don.
Thank you. You might want to comment on it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Don.
Time.
Thanks.
I don't always read Brian McKenzie's articles, to be perfectly honest.
I saw the column, and I've been running around today and just haven't read it yet. I'm going to read it.
Yeah, all righty. So, and Chris Matthews pointed out on Meet the Press, he said, you know, all these allegations for N-word, number one, they don't mean a lot to a lot of people out there. Number two, a lot of people don't even think they're true. And number three, in Chris's Matthews' opinion, it really only holds water if you can demonstrate that in elected office, he was a racist, or as an elected leader, against African Americans.
I disagree with Chris a little bit on that. I see it a different way. I see it as really a test of one's credibility. And you have to weigh the people who are coming forward now against the denial that he ever said something like that. And I think credibility counts. And if he says, I never used the word, and you believe the five or six people who have publicly, with their face on the line and their name on the line, said, I heard him use it a bunch of times, you know, that's a credibility question you have to weigh. Now, a lot of people, that doesn't matter because, you know, as you were saying, it's 20, 30 years ago in most of these cases, and you don't have evidence of it affecting him in his public life other than what you mentioned previously. I think you can make a case that he was a governor who listened to black voters. I think you can make a case that he wasn't, you know, particularly strong on those issues. So, you know, that, again, is somewhat subjective.
We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, man of the street out there making it happen, getting the news, and helping us understand what the heck is going on out there. Let's take a quick break. You're listening to Charlottesville right now. Now, Bob, you wrote in your column recently. Where is that? Where is that copy of that? I got so many papers around here. Here it is. You wrote, in the first sentence that you wrote said, this year's U.S. Senate race in Virginia takes the cake for the most bizarre and unsettling that I've seen in three decades of writing about political contests.
And
that's an amazing claim to make in three decades.
And I think it does have something to do with the next sentence, which is why many people don't bother to vote.
Yeah.
I think there's a conscious strategy at work in this campaign or in these campaigns to suppress the vote of the other side through some of these character questions. And it's probably working. I think we're going to see a lower vote turnout than we perhaps would have seen had the issues been, you know, Bush, the war.
Right. And for folks who don't know, it's a common political strategy. When you do go negative, the end result is that that you have less of a voter turnout, and that means that a lot of moderates and folks in the middle who can swing elections don't go to the polls, and you end up just the base, the far left and the far right end up voting.
There's a lot of money that's going to be spent on TV in the next 5 weeks, and it's going to be spent largely on some of these character questions, I'm afraid.
Let's go to the phones. Joseph in Waynesboro. Joe, thanks for the call. Go right ahead. You're on with Bob Gibson.
Yes. I think that the Democrats are doing themselves a disservice with this attack on George Allen. It would be akin to me having known you in the past and accusing you of perhaps stealing a car with me or me having seen you slap your girlfriend. And you're suddenly put on the defensive in terms of having to defend that, your position that you never did that. Now, I find this absolutely preposterous that George Allen is even in this position at all.
You know, more and more campaigns, Joseph, are coming down to questions like this. More and more people are calling in and telling reporters and telling other people. It's not just this race. There are races
all over the country. Yeah.
It's happened in the closest congressional race in Virginia, down in the 2nd District, where a blog came out with a report that the Democratic challenger in that race had, when he was a 21-year-old college student down at Elon College in North Carolina, been charged with assaulting a woman. And that seems to center around whether or not the Democrat in his college years actually grabbed her hair, or just as he said, beat on the front of her car when she cut him off in a fast food lane. So, you know, it's the kind of thing that we're not used to judging candidates on quite that basis, but you're seeing more and more of it across the country.
Yeah, let's go to Randolph in Charlottesville. Randolph, you're on with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress.
Yeah, hey, Bob. Hey, Corey, how y'all doing?
Very
hey,
good.
Randolph.
Thanks for the call.
Great. Yeah, I have a two-pronged question. The first is, do you think there's a double standard that Republicans are judged a little more harshly, especially on the social issues, and maybe because they put forward more social issues than Democrats might? And the second question I had to ask you is, do you really think that this comes down to the character of the candidate, or do you think that perhaps it's a little something more than that? Because if it comes down to the character of the candidate, then what happens with people like Robert Byrd, who were, you know, a member of the Ku Klux Klan, or what happens to anybody who has any sort of past at all, but they've undone that?
I'm glad you raised that. That's a very good point. Robert Byrd was a member of the Klan as a young man, and he apologized profusely, said that he now holds different views. And, you know, if you listen to some right-wing radio talk shows, it's Robert KKK Byrd. that's all they say, because they prefer to slam the guy rather than to talk about whether he has atoned for and apologized for and moved on. I think George Allen is in the position of saying, I never did that. Had he said, I did that as a young man, I was young and foolish, and I'm not, you know, as young and foolish today, I think we'd be past this thing by weeks.
Yeah, I guess my question really is, though, don't you think that we are past this because he's got a record of public service and also a record of outreach to the African-American community and so on that actually undoes that, even if he did say it?
For a lot of voters, that's true. For a lot of voters, I think this is something they don't want to hear about anymore. You know, they've heard enough about it. They want to move on to other things. And, you know, the fact that George keeps surrounding himself with black ministers and others as if to say, you know, we're forgiving this guy for, you know, the way he used to believe and the flag he used to fly on his wall in his home in Earlysville back in the 90s. We forgive him for that. Let's move on. I think that has a certain resonance with some people.
Okay.
Randolph, thanks for the call. Let's go to Howard in Charlottesville. Howard, you're on with Bob Gibson.
Thanks for taking my call. Bob, I wanted to ask you about Larry Sabato. I would be willing to wager that he wishes he hadn't said anything. I think it was a mistake for him to say what he said on the television and then not be able to back it up. I was wondering what effect you think this might have on his reputation.
I think it will probably mean a few fewer phone calls to Larry Sabato from reporters, because by verifying or trying to verify and stand by the credibility of people making a charge, he was sort of injecting himself into a controversy, which is unlike him. You know, he's usually a much more dispassionate, neutral observer who has a long record of saying things that he believes to be the truth, whether they hurt one side or the other. In this race, I think it's a little bit uncomfortable to have crossed that line. But, you know, he probably sees these six classmates of his and George as people who he believes, and when he was asked that question by Chris Matthews, he said what he thought. So I just think it means that fewer people will call him to be the neutral observer in this race, and I think it means that some people will say, you know, he's too biased to consider the views on this.
Thank you.
Thanks, Howard. A little hard for him to do, though, considering the fact that he was literally in school with the guy.
Well, you know,
and not that they were buddies, but
he answered a question. He didn't expect the question to be asked. He answered the question. He couldn't provide the documentation because the people who were reporting it were putting it out that night, and I think he just couldn't say what he knew. So, you know, I think he was in a very awkward situation. He answered honestly. He crossed a line in the, you know, neutral observer to I'm verifying what some people have said. And that probably takes him to a place where he just gets fewer phone calls. I don't think that's going to kill him.
Yeah. Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, our guest this half hour. Bob joins us every Monday afternoon for a little political discussion, and we always look forward to it, and we appreciate you folks joining the conversation. So tonight at 7:58, George Allen will go into the four biggest markets here, Northern Virginia, Richmond, Tidewater, and Roanoke.
He added Bristol.
He did add Bristol. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So he's south side. That's very interesting. And he is going to be hope to achieve what from this these 2 minutes?
He wants to say, let's move on. Let's talk about something else. Let's put this behind us. And he desperately needs to do that because he's been in a little bit of a free fall for 2 months talking about some of these issues that he's had a hard time answering questions about. So he's going to say, let's talk about President Bush. Let's talk about my record as governor. Let's talk about the war on terror. Let's talk about, you know, this and that, not what we have been talking about for the last 2 months. And we'll see if that works. We'll see if he is able to change the subject.
Assuming the allegations of his early racism in the early 70s are true, in your judgment, do you think that he should have owned it right away and said, look, yeah, I said that when I was a kid and I made mistakes and I've grown up? And we wouldn't have been dragged this on for weeks.
I think there are better ways to have handled some of these questions, and he probably could have put this behind him a little more easily with a little more candor.
Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, our guest every Monday. We look forward to his column in the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.